Singing hallelujah. The angels in heaven, they sing hallelujah to your name, Jesus. In heaven are singing. The second one says, your children on the earth, we are singing hallelujah. You are starting it again. Huh? Receiving the help of God. Praise God. You see, I began one of my earlier statements. I said to you that you must come to a place where you totally believe that God wants to help you. God has not called you to be saved to make a mess of you. God has called you to help you. Come on, say, God has called me to help me. So, it is God's intention to help you. He wants to help you. He always desires to help us. And one thing you must also know is that God is a giving God. God is always giving. He's always giving. God is a giver by nature. Do you know why God made man? God made man looking for a being that he could give love to. God didn't make you first of all to worship him. He made you to love you. Am I breaking tables? Why did God create you on earth? He created me to worship him. No. God created you because he was looking for a being to pour love into. You are the object of God's love. There's so much love in God, he could not handle it. He has to create you and I to pour it on us. This is how to be spoiled by God. Many times we don't receive things from God because we don't think God wants to give you. Hello? Hello? We don't receive because we don't feel qualified to receive from God. Not because God does not want to give, but because you don't feel qualified to receive from God. Many times we don't receive because we have a very long ladder that leads to where God is giving. 10 steps on how you can get God to look in your direction. But you see, God is so full of love that he's looking for someone to pour his love on. Bible calls him El Shaddai, the mighty breasted one. It means that God has a breast so full of milk that he is in pain to pour that milk on you. The same way a nursing mother will be in pain if the child is not suckling. Are you with me? She's in pain, so she's looking for the child to relieve her pain on. Once the child begins to suck, she feels relieved. You can imagine that. Bible refers to God as the Almighty God. That expression is El Shaddai. And one of its meanings is means all sufficient. It also means mighty breasted. So God has so much he wants to give. God is in pain to bless you. Can you just tell God, relieve your pain on me? So God wants to help you. And that's why I tell people that I'm very particular about doctrine. Because you see, your doctrine determines what you expect from God. Doctrine means teaching. People's doctrine affects the way they relate with God, affects the way they receive from God. There are doctrines that teach you that you have to keep giving to God and giving to God and never expecting to receive. I've heard people say, when you give your offering to God, don't give because you want God to give you back. Just give because you love God. True. But sir, your 1K cannot be a way to show that you love God. What do you have to give God to show that you love him? I'm all for giving for love. Amen. Amen. But if it's that giving you want to use to show that you love God, you can never be able to show it. And that's why God requires our heart, your heart, to be in the right position to receive. God has no problem with giving. He has too much. That even if the whole world were to ride a car at the same time, God will still be smiling. God is not going to come under pressure from the needs of men. God is a giving God. And if God is a giving God, to balance the equation, he must be a receiving person. However, there are certain doctrines that may prevent you from receiving, not prevent God from giving. So God is not prevented from giving. You are the one who has hindrances from receiving. Start from salvation. God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believe will know what? But is everyone saved? But the sacrifice is given. God has given Christ, but not everyone is saved. Who are those that get saved? As many as what? Receive. So becoming something in God, having what God said is yours, has to do with your ability to receive it, not with God giving. He will spare not his only son, but gave him up for us all. Shall he not together with him freely give us all things. Every time you find an exchange, you'll always find God on the side of giving, not on the receiving side. But a lot of people need things from God, yet they can't bring their minds in a position to receive it. And one of the first things that will affect you, that will hinder you from receiving from God, is your doctrine. Your doctrine of unworthiness. Feelings of unworthiness. Always thinking that you're not qualified. And that is why the first thing God dealt with humanity, is the issue of sin. Because sin was a barrier. Isaiah 59. It says, because of your sin, his ears, he's now looking as if his ears are too far. It's as though his hands are too short to reach out to you because of sin. But one sacrifice bridged that gap. The sacrifice of Jesus. Open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. Colossians chapter 1 verse 14. Verse 13 says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through what? Come on, talk to me. Even the forgiveness of sins. So the first thing you have to overcome in receiving from God is to know that your sins are forgiven. The Bible says he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness. It is a reality. It's not a story. It's not a fabu story. It's a reality that, look, can you dare to picture yourself as having been translated from darkness to light? Who has ever walked on a dark path before? And then you walked through it and came to a path where there was light. How was the feeling? Huh? How was the feeling? If natural forces can make you feel that way, what about if you picture yourself as not being in darkness anymore? That God by himself took you from darkness and brought you into light. How was he able to achieve that? Bible says, through his blood, we have received redemption. Even the forgiveness of sins. What he was saying there is that we have received the forgiveness of sins. The word redemption means to pay. It means to pay, to buy back. We were slaves in the market of sin. We were slaves sold out to satanic bondage. But God, you have to always remind yourself that I used to be a slave to the devil. But glory to God. By the blood of Jesus, I have, not I will, have been redeemed. And what do I have? The forgiveness of sins. Say, my sins are forgiven. Come on, say it like a minute. Say, my sins are forgiven. Listen, if you don't believe this, you can't believe anything. You have no right to the riches of God without forgiveness of sins. It is this forgiveness that granted us access to the Father. Without this forgiveness, we have no access. So if you put your sin between you and God, you will never be able to receive anything. Because what you are doing is that you are reinstalling structures that Christ has dismantled. How did he dismantle them? By his blood. Oh God, I'm helpless. I'm confused. You are saying a lie. You are telling a lie. You are not helpless. Ephesians 1. It says here, in whom we have redemption, through his blood, verse 7, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. In whom, in Christ, we have what? Redemption. How do we get redemption? Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to what? The riches of his grace. So we got redemption by the blood. We receive forgiveness by the riches of his grace. We are redeemed by his blood. And we are forgiven because of the riches of his grace. So how do I receive from God? I must settle it and agree that my sins are forgiven. I must agree that sin is no longer a barrier between me and God. And when I use the word sin, there's a word sin as a noun and sin as a verb. The sin as a verb, about the acts of sin. Sin as a noun, as sin as a person, as sin as a nature. That sin nature, that sin was a barrier between you and God. God, man had no access to God because of sin. Even the man who was just born today is born with that nature. It's not tied to what a person is doing or not doing. It's a nature. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, he who knew no sin was made to be a sinner. Huh? Was made to be what? Sin. That what? Come on, talk to me. He was made to be sin, that you might be made to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, I'm praying for this. What if I may? He said, your sins are forgiven. 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 Do you believe that? Can you believe that? Can you dare to believe that? That my sins are forgiven. There is nothing standing between me and God. Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He said, how do we come boldly? He said, we have not an high priest that is not touched. So Christ being our high priest, he has been touched by our limitations. He knows your limitations. He knows your infirmities. Bible says, because of this, let us come boldly. Let's come boldly. Stop going to God and recounting your misdeeds. Am I saying you should go and start doing misdeeds? No. But if you understand that what you received in Christ was not in installments, the forgiveness that God gave you was not instrumental. The payment was a full payment. Appropriate it into your expectation. Don't go to God like a beggar who barely deserves what it's about to get. Popular saying, a beggar has no choice. When they bring that bowl to you to drop a coin, you are at liberty to determine what you put inside. Except for a proud beggar. I've seen some. That determine what you give them. Go to Yoruba land, you find them there. No, Yoruba people are very educated. Even in begging, they are proud. Drop anything there, they say, so after all the talk you have been talking here, is this person there? Some never say, they all look in one kind of eye like this. When you are begging, you cannot determine what you get. Hi, did you hear what I'm saying? In begging, there are no rights. Begging is that whatever I get, I am okay with it. Many of us pray to God like this. We pray to God as though, God, if you can just, I know me, I don't want to be like Pastor Chibuzo. Can just give me one extra tongue, skolobo. Is enough for me. If all I can just get is just food to eat tonight. Bible says, give us our daily bread. That daily bread, if I just have my daily bread, I choose whether it's Kampala or 313. If ours is bread, and God help me that even if I get 3 akara to choke inside, and all the while God is shaking his head. Bible says, unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly. So why do you go to God asking for bread when you can own the bakery? Yes, when I want to do a business, I just need about 50k. Capital is enough. If I can just get 50k, let me just be doing something. It's the reason why many are poor, because all they want to be doing is something. And anybody can do something. Washing car is something. Sweeping the road is something. It's something. I just want to be doing something. Why? We do not think that we deserve the big things that inside our heart we think we want. Now, there is a balance in the issue of contentment. But understand that contentment has to be in the circle of what is available. Contentment is defined based on what is available. That means you are not asking beyond what is available. With God, is there anything available? What is available? According to his riches in glory. That is the limit of what is available to you. So how do you define your own contentment? I want more. I don't know about you. I want more. Why? The one who loved me said, all things are possible. So God has no given problem. If you're sick in your body, God wants more to heal you than you even want to be healed. Because Bible says that God commended his love, Romans 5 verse 8, to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Get this tip after now, it's going to bless you. In that Christ died for us, that God commended his love toward us. That how many men would die for a good man? He said, but God, he commended his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Nobody had said yes to Jesus when he died. Even on the cross, somebody was mocking him. Yet he was dying for humanity. There was nothing a man would have done to make God say, Christ should go and die. It was God's own prerogative. Man broke away from God. God went after him. That is Jesus. So God, in Adam's age, the separation, Adam was separated from God, not God separated from Adam. Understand? It's a perspective matter. Okay. Did you hear what I'm saying? You might come and stand. Come. We are standing together. Right? Then I move. Where am I? I'm behind him. Right? Now, who moved? Huh? Who moved? Now, you move to the front. Where am I? Where am I? I'm still behind him. Who moved? Huh? So, if I move backwards, I'm behind him. If he moves forward, I'm behind him. The same position, but perspective. So when man was separated from God, it was that man moved Not that God moved. God was still where he was. How can I paint it clearer? That God never moved an inch. It was man that moved. Yet, God moved again. Again. So when God needed man, he did not tell man to come. He ran after man. He sent Jesus to lay hold of man. You're not guessing this thing. You're not guessing. You are too used to this. You looking for somebody. I'm telling you that somebody is looking for you. You are too used to being the one going after people. God went after you. Hi, can you sink in? I feel like closing here. God went after you. You were the one that moved. He went after you. That is how radical God is about you. Why are you slaving your life? That God stood one day and said, I need man back. All the ages, through prophets, through judges, God was calling man did not come. God will come and man will not come. And then one day God got up. I'm going after him. It was man that left. It was God that went after him. The song that says, there's no shadow you won't light up. There's no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. See, can you sit down and dare to believe it? That God came after you. There should be no one day of inferiority complex in your life. Because Jesus came after you. These walls must break if we are going to receive from God. Walls of unworthiness. Walls of not being qualified. Walls of something being too big for you. Bishop was saying, he said, they were giving his words. He said, he's the richest pastor in the world. $150 million. And he said, that's nonsense. He said, that's rubbish. He said, I am rich according to the riches. He said, that is my wealth. You would think that when somebody hears that he has $150 million, you say, yes, you see, I told you, prophecy has happened. See, that's rubbish. Bring out your Japanese calculator and convert it. And he said, my riches is according to the riches. It takes a person who has gone beyond materialism to understand that. That no matter how much you have, God can give more. So how do I receive the help of God? I must agree that I am number one candidate of God's help. I am the focus of his attention. Bible calls, he calls us the apple of his eyes. He has engraved us in the palm of his hands. This has nothing to do with your family background. This has nothing to do with the man that gave birth to you. That's why you cannot be angry with your father for nothing. Because your life will not turn out because of him. Thank God for the copies of this world whose dads can buy them a 148 million naira Ferrari. But what have you received in Christ? Do you count it as worth more than that? I'm saved. So you know, no person will get one. Who salvation help? You don't understand what you have received. Moses esteemed Christ greater riches than the wealth of Egypt. He was a prince in Egypt. He was tutored, raised by the daughter of Pharaoh. All royal privileges were given to Moses. But the cry of destiny was stronger. His messiahship is what determines his actions. Moses is a form of messiah to the Israelites. Just as Christ is our messiah, Moses is our messiah. Moses has a messiahship. Even in the house of Pharaoh, that meant more to him than what he was getting in the house of Pharaoh. Say, my sins are forgiven. Say, my sins are forgiven. the obstacle is removed. I am now righteousness conscious. It means I am more conscious of my righteousness than I am of my what? My weaknesses. Than my shortcomings. When a person is more conscious that he is righteous, sin will be hard to commit. Ah, people say, I don't know. Sin will be difficult to commit when you are full of your knowledge of righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and there is nothing the devil can do about it. I have direct access to the Father, who freely gives me all things to enjoy. I don't go to God as a beggar. I go as a son. How many of us heard the prodigal son story? Luke 15. A certain man walked up to his father one day and told him, "Give me the portion of my inheritance." The Bible never said the man extended. Instantly the father turned and divided the inheritance into two. What's the story? Now, when he divided it into two, he gave the other son who asked for his, gave him his own portion, and he left. So, who owned the remaining half? Come on, talk to me. Who owned the remaining half? And so this boy, Bob says, wasted his inheritance on riotous living. On Jaya Loba, he was eating the life of his head. Bob says, when he has had everything, there was famine in the land. The young man went to the pig's house and was begging to eat food with pigs. They were even doing shakara for him with pig food. And one day he was squabbling for pig's food, and suddenly he remembered. And when he had come back to himself, when you are begging, you have lost knowledge of who you are. When you go to God like a scrambler, like a hustler, you want God to bless your hustle, you don't know who you are. If God bless your hustle, you will hustle till you die. Hustle. And he said, he came back to himself and said, even the servants in my father's house, they eat and throw away. I will now arise and go back to my father and tell him, I'm not worthy to be a son. That is a word God never wants to hear. It's not, you cannot use it at that pity party. God, I'm not worthy. Just this one chance. He rehearsed the speech. And Bob says he began to go home. And right from the window, when his father saw him afar off, the father didn't wait for the boy to get close. If it's your father, you go and cut cane like this, and he's waiting for you. Say, Shebi, she has come back. Now me and her today. And if it's your mother, her hands are ready to give you. You know, who has taken that kind of a bara before? Me, I took plenty. Or bend your back like this. Remember that story I told you about paracetamol? In my sister, she's here. She just came and said, stomach is aching now. I hear one paracetamol, she took it. Came again. It's still paining me. I gave her that paracetamol. Until I gave her one sachet. My mother came and now went to go and do good boy. Mommy. Our nickname then was Mama. Mama was feeling stomach pain and I gave her paracetamol. How many did you give her? And I showed her empty sachet. Oh, Jesus. Oh, my name became sorry. She didn't know what to beat me with. She used hand, used a batoning stick, everything available. Me, in my mind, I thought I was doing good. So the prodigal son's father stood afar off and began to run towards him. Watch this. He didn't wait for the boy to come close. The moment he saw him, he began to run towards him. And when he met him on the road, the boy began to say his carefully rehearsed speech, his acceptance speech,
that he would tell his father, I don't want to be your son. When he got to that point, the father said, hushed him there and said, servants, bring me the royal robe. It was not just any cloth. He said, bring me the robe of royals. The father received him. He went as a vagabond. The father took him back as royalty. When they brought the royal robe, he said, tonight we throw a party. Bring me DJ Copy. How much? They said DJ Copy very expensive, like 10 million. Accountants, go and transfer the money. He said, where is that cow? We have been killing for the governor. The man has to be an important man. It's important men that kept a cow, that they call it what? Fatted cow. It was a cow for dignitaries. So he received him as royalty. He treated him as a dignitary. Because he came back. He left like an irresponsible son. He was received like a responsible son. Watch where I'm going with this story. And the party was going on. Asun, Suya, barbecue. And the son who was left at home, who did not ask for what belongs to him, was on the field walking with the servants. And when he came back and heard that there was a party for this boy who ran away, he stood outside the party, refusing to join the party. And the father asked him, what is wrong? He said, I have been with you all these years, walking on the fields, building your company. You have never killed a lamb. Hey. So all he thought he deserved after all the years of for his father was a lamb. So you never killed a lamb. And the father said something that I'm saying to you tonight. He says, all these years, didn't you know that all I had was yours? Because it was shared into two. I had only two sons. One took half. Who did the remaining half belong to? But the boy who knew his way back home spent his own and took what belongs to another person. There are many unbelievers who believe they will be rich more than Christians. Who believe that they will have money more than even many believers. Because we go around with our cloak of self-righteousness. What I deserve. Okay, you want to ask God for your car. What have I done today? Have I really done anything that deserves? Can God? So when pastor says before the end of the year, people will drive their car, you're like, That thing is a stronghold that can deter you from receiving anything good from God. The man who owned everything was asking for a lamb. That is all he could bring himself to ask. Meanwhile, he owned everything. When the prodigal son came back, they took from what belonged to him and did party for the prodigal son. God, I've been born again all these years. Look at that one, I just got born again. Now she's already enjoying a married life. I kept myself. I was a virgin. God, now I don't have shite. But I was a virgin. I've heard people say that before. Person, God will help them, and the woman was a virgin. No, that is what is called sin consciousness. And she was and she kept herself, still no child. Economia gave a story of a lady. So I've been failing jump every year, and I'm a virgin. What has failing jump got to do with being a virgin? Is there a space for virgin in the jump form? Self-righteousness. Trying to make a case for yourself. There is no case you can make for yourself that can stand near the case Christ has made for you. Is your defense counsel. He stood in the court where you were about to be hanged. And he said, ask. He said, my Lord, can you please ask my learned colleague to present any evidence against the accused person? And the prosecutor, the devil, opened his file to bring out the evidence that will hang you. because he had enough evidence to hang you. He opened his evidence book and it was clean. He didn't know who wiped it. And he said, but my Lord, I had the evidence right here. And the defense counsel says, show it to the court. He brings up a book of ordinances and all that is there is a blank slate. He has no evidence to prove his case. And your defense counsel says, my Lord, why are we here? If the prosecutor, my colleague does not have an evidence against the accused person, it means there's no case. I hereby pray this court to discharge and acquit the accused person and pay him damages for all his time wasted. And God, the judge of all the earth, looks up from his book and he says, having heard this matter, given the absence of any substantial evidence against the accused person, I hereby declare that the accused person is discharged and acquitted of all offenses leveled against him, having blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us. He nailed them to the cross. There is nothing that stops you from receiving from God, from receiving help from God. So I will lift up my eyes to the hills. He said, no. That's the wrong place to look. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, the Maker. And then he defined who the Lord is. That the one who is helping me is the Maker of heaven and earth. Psalm 103 verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Full colon. One. Who forgives you of all your iniquities and healeth thee of all your infirmities. He redeemeth thy life from destruction.
Aye.
What are his benefits? He who forgives your iniquities. ISV says, he who continues to forgive.
Tie.
He didn't forgive once and for all. The forgiveness has gone ahead of him. I'm forgiven. I'm guiltless. Tie. There is therefore now no condemnation to the one who is in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I'm free to win. I stay in my victory. I receive all that God has made available for me. Define your contentment by the boundaries of all that God has available for you. Not by the boundaries of your mind. Many define contentment in the confines of their minds. What they expect to happen. When it doesn't happen, they say, I am content. No. I'm not content to be like this. If being like this is short of God's glory, then I'm not content. That is a wrong way to define contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment about what? You know why many Africans are laid back? Because we are easily contented. And our limitations form the boundaries of our contentment. That's why you see a Chinese person, a white person, is even making a machine on how to break eggs. Without using his hand. He doesn't want to even lift a hand to break the egg. You see, egg crusher. Tomato, this one. Robot that will clean the house. People who have broken the boundaries of their minds create inventions. We, our mind is to consume. But their own mind is that if a human being has limitations, I'm going to break them. Science has showed us what is possible with the human mind. How much more what is possible with the Holy Ghost? We are as limited as we agree to be. We are as hindered as we agree to be. The mountains of every man is in his mind. The day the mind is enlightened, he jumps out of that ignorance. A man crosses a mountain in two ways. Either you walk over the mountain, or you walk through the mountain as though it's not there. Either you crush the mountain under feet. There is nothing that stops the believer from receiving from God. And I'll close with this. Trust in the Lord. Let me tell somebody, trust in the Lord. Let me tell somebody, trust in the Lord. Look around your neighbor and say, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 7. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and what? He shall direct your path. So you want to receive help in form of direction, trust in the Lord. The major hindrance to divine direction in our lives is our lack of trust in God. I asked somebody, I said, if you are going to a place, Do you ask if the driver can drive before entering the car at the park? Come on, talk to me. If you are going to Lagos, you just go and enter the car. You believe that the driver can drive. You've never seen him drive, but you believe that for him to be at the park, he can drive the car. And he tells you, I'm going to Lagos, and you enter. You believe that he knows the way to Lagos. How much more of the God that made you? Can you trust him enough to let him lead you? Our submission to divine direction is a function of trust. When we don't trust God, we don't obey him. The reason why we don't obey God is because we don't trust him. Obeying God in the place of service, of giving to him, is trust. It means I trust God to supply finances. Obeying God in destiny matters is a function of trust. Why? I trust that he knows the end from the beginning. He calleth forth the things that be not as though they were. He knoweth thy end. God is the only person who writes your book from the conclusion. The only person. He knows the end of a matter before it even begins. That is why we can trust him for tomorrow. That's why we can follow his leading. The proverb said, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways. What? What will happen? Isaiah 26 verse 3. Choir, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I know you are inspired. Isaiah 26 verse 3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on his troubles. Huh? Whose mind is stayed on his troubles. On who? Because? He said he will keep in perfect peace. That phrase there is shalom, shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. He said he will keep him in perfect peace. So once you start losing your peace, it means you have shifted your trust from God. It's as clear as that. How do I know I don't trust God when I lose my peace? When something's about to happen and I'm anxious, I'm worried, it's a sign I don't trust God. This is how you judge it. It means you have checked everything around you. Nothing is working. So you feel it doesn't work. Anxiety wells in. Why? Lack of trust. So this is how you judge yourself. And we cannot receive in a state of anxiety. The word peace there is shalom, shalom. It means completeness. It means soundness. It means welfare. It means peace. It means safety. Soundness in body. It means contentment. It will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him, because he trusts him.